inflation, but not as much. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Prices on things we bought rose 0.5% last month, over 5% higher than a year ago, but half the increase in prices we got in June.
Prices in categories hard hit by the pandemic last year, air travel, clothing, entertainment, and recreation, are now recovering, though the Delta variant of COVID continues to create uncertainty for inflation.
Fox's Jenny Casola. There's also concern about the price at the pump. Fox's Rachel Sutherland is on this live.
Dave, the White House is taking action to lower gas prices, calling on OPEC to move faster to restore global oil supply to pre-pandemic levels. In a statement, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan criticized the world's largest oil producers, saying they're not doing enough to boost crude oil at a critical moment in pandemic recovery. The Federal Trade Commission will also investigate whether illegal anti-competitive practices are contributing to higher prices. The average price for a gallon of gas stands at $3.18 nationwide, a dollar higher than this time last year. Dave?
Rachel, the Senate voted at 4 a.m.
We have finally reached the finish line.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, after Democrats advanced a plan for $3.5 trillion in spending. Final approval could be over a month away, and some moderate Democrats join all Republicans calling it too much spending. Senator Joe Manchin says it's irresponsible. The Taliban is on the march in Afghanistan. The militants have taken over at least 8 provincial capitals, 2/3 of the country, prompting the Afghan president to replace his army's chief of staff. A U.S. defense official tells Reuters the main capital, Kabul, could be overtaken in 90 days as U.S. troops keep leaving, and a withdrawal President Biden maintains will be complete this month.
I think they're beginning to realize they've got to come together politically at the top. But we're going to continue to keep our commitment. But I do not regret my decision.
America's listening to Fox News.
The Delta variant is spreading fast. All this week, Stinchfield details calls for new lockdowns, more masks, and even vaccination mandates. Watch Stinchfield tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. He reveals the truth and the big dangers. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems like DirecTV, Dish, and Xfinity. Or free on Samsung, Roku, Zumo, Pluto, and more. Also, download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Watch Stinchfield tonight. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax. Because it's real news for real people.
You don't want to mess with the IRS. They have the power to garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, and even take your home or business. That's all true. But thankfully, they're offering a way out. The Fresh Start Initiative. If you qualify, you could save thousands. The experts at Optima Tax Relief will fight to get you the best deal possible. And they have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau to prove it. Call Optima for your free consultation.
Call 800-931-4033. 800-931-4033.
Optima Tax Relief.
For details, visit.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
The best advertising in the world is the most memorable. That's the goal of all advertising, to make your business the name to remember when it comes to the goods and services you sell. This is why the best advertising on the planet has always been done with the long game in mind. Most are consistent advertising campaigns with multiple messages deployed over a 2 or 3 year period. This takes having a solid, steady plan and being consistent in your themes. Learn how to make your advertising into a long-term campaign at yumaadvertising.com.
United Nissan is making it easy to buy a new or used vehicle this summer. We've been stocking up our inventory with trade-ins, lease returns, and quality used vehicles. And now we're ready to unleash these deals in the valley. Visit UnitedNissanImperial.com today and browse our huge selection of trucks, SUVs, and sedans. All readily available at the palm of your hand. Shop the car you want, where you want, and get the price you love. Come by and say hi or shop us online at UnitedNissanImperial.com.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Get up every morning from the
This is Chamber Chatter brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Executive Director. And this morning, we are fortunate to have here in the studio with us representatives from Yuma County. We have Susan Thorpe, the County Administrator.
Good morning.
And we have Alejandro Figueroa. And Alejandro, I'm pulling up my notes not because of your name. I clearly know you. But your title is Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs Director.
It sure is. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. That's a mouthful.
It sure is.
So, Alejandro, you are new to the position, May. So what brought you to Yuma County?
Well, yes.
To the position.
Kim, thank you for hosting me this morning, for hosting us. I started May 3rd. You know, I'm from Yuma County. I'm a native of Yuma.
That's why I said, what brought you to Yuma County? And then I'm like, wait, the position. You're
yes,
from here.
I'm from Yuma. I grew up here in South County, in San Luis. And I went over to study my political science degree up in ASU, and I stayed there in Maricopa County for about 13 years.
Okay.
And I worked for the governor's office. I worked for ASU. And, you know, I wanted to come back to help add value to this region because of the perception there's outside there,
mm-hmm.
what I've heard. So I've always wanted to come back and do something for my community.
It is amazing, the perception, you know, because I lived up there for 18 years too, and the perception. So what is your dream? What's your ideal that we could do with Yuma County?
Well, I think we need to find a niche. We need to find our place within the supply chain that is now helping Phoenix grow. So we need to be part of that. We need to find the suppliers, the vendors that are going to be feeding that growth in the coming years.
Do you have a magic bullet?
There's no magic bullet. No. Unfortunately not.
It's hard work. That's why we have Alejandro here.
that is. And so it's only been 3 months. What have you, I mean, I see what you do, but what have you been able to accomplish so far?
Well, we got a few companies, solar companies, interested in coming to Yuma. And I'm trying to, brand our region also besides, you know, the military, which is huge here in town. It's a great asset to our town. Agriculture, obviously tourism, but I'm also looking into renewable energy, and there's several companies now interested in talking to us about that.
Is that why you have those? I see that there's more than the frames up now. There's some solar panels up, going up as we speak.
Yes, Yuma County has engaged a company to install solar-covered parking at 6 facilities across the county, 6 county buildings. And those are going to show immediate savings, and they're going to provide the benefit of covered parking for our residents and or for our visitors and employees.
And do you get to park under them?
Nope, not me.
So the county administrator doesn't get to park under the solar panels.
No,
solar
we save those for our visitors when possible.
Perfect. And so do you expect to be able to use those as kind of an example of, you know, when bringing more solar into the county?
Absolutely, absolutely. We actually have APS is setting up some battery storage because we're going to produce an excess of energy, so we're going to have some storage capacity. Besides the economic development, I'm also in charge of the intergovernmental affairs, which is, you know, legislative affairs for the most part. So I'm also in charge of talking and working with the Arizona Congressional delegation and our state representatives and senators. So that's also something I've been tasked with in this position.
And I would think your experience with the government, with the governor's office, would help with that.
Absolutely, it sure does. It sure does.
And I might just add, Kimberly, that we were Yuma County and the residents are big beneficiaries of the legislature this past year. And I'd love to thank all the legislative representatives for Yuma County who have served us well, bringing us advantages like the widening of Highway 95, the Law Enforcement Training Academy at Arizona Western College, although that's not public knowledge yet, but we do understand that it is in the budget, as well as $5 million for the fairgrounds relocation.
Right, and yeah, I know that almost everything we asked for, which is amazing, we got this
yes.
year. So speaking of which, I know that you have a quite unusual budget this year at the county.
No. Yes, it is 50% higher than last year, and that's because we have to accommodate the federal funding that's coming through not only emergency rental assistance program, but also the American Rescue Plan Act. Those two together are over $55 million. So that had to be appropriated in our budget in order to be able to accept those funds and then spend them as a pass-through to benefit our community.
So how do you expect them to affect the average Yuma County resident like me?
Well, one of the big things that we're doing is working on broadband access. So we've had a small task force that's representing the cities, the county, agricultural business, and economic development. And that's our highest priority among the Board of Supervisors. They want to provide a middle-mile backbone of high-speed internet so that we can provide to the end customer eventually, that's the second phase, fiber to the home for speeds that start at 1 gig. So we actually will be able to have students who can learn at home, who can access the internet to do their studies. We can have people who can work from home, do remote employment, and hopefully attract other workers here to Yuma County. And telehealth, all the things that people expect to be able to do on the internet, but we can't because we have been we've received unreliable, slow speeds for years and years. And Yuma County is trying to lead the way to make a difference there.
And that, you know, moving here, I understand that. So, you know, I've been hearing broadband since I moved here about a year ago. Short term, long term, I mean, what are we looking at in putting this in? What do you expect?
Well, Yuma County just issued an RFP along with the rest of the members of the task force, but Yuma County's the lead because we'll actually be the one that's doing the bringing in the proposals and actually signing a contract. So we issued an RFP July 6th.
Mm-hmm.
We received a bunch of questions from the potential vendors. At least 7 companies that are well-known across the country have provided questions. We just finished providing responses to those questions, which is part of the RFP process. We posted those yesterday, and now we're giving those companies till September 7th to provide proposals. So we'll be looking at those September 8th. We'll start looking at the proposals and see what we come up with. From there, we're going to package our funding and the vendor's proposed funding and take that to the state, which has now appropriated a bunch of money for rural broadband, and hopefully we'll get a state grant mm-hmm. to make up the difference between what we want and how much money we have to do it. There's also federal broadband grants available. So we're going to try to take advantage of every opportunity to expand and leverage our funds to make it possible for all parts of our county to access reliable, fast internet.
And so my question, so it's not going to be something that happens tomorrow, unfortunately.
No.
I mean, we all wanted it yesterday. I mean, that's the nature of it. But it is moving, it sounds like, quickly, may I say, for a government project?
Yes. Well, when the Board of Supervisors said, this is our top priority, mm-hmm. I took that to heart and approached the other cities. Julie Engel with GYUDC, Paul Brierley and Mark Smith that represent the agricultural industry, and we've just been moving very quickly, and everybody's working really well together. We're all united in this effort.
Perfect. And Alejandro, I mean, you grew up here and then went up there. What have you noticed, like, with broadband, and, like, what's been your experience since you moved back?
Oh, absolutely. It's noticeable, obviously, right? I'm falling in love with Yuma.
Okay.
I mean, having lived in San Luis, I was kind of detached from Northern County and Yuma itself. So now I'm learning about all the things we have to offer to the people visiting Yuma and people wanting to do business in Yuma. But I think broadband will be key in our efforts to make our town, our region, more competitive and to add quality of life to our residents as well. So I think, as Susan mentioned, I mean, we have competition among, you know, every other region in the world
mm-hmm.
nowadays for remote workers. So I think broadband will be key in that effort to bring in top talent to our town.
And with that, we have to take our first break. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with 4 locations to serve all of your tire needs.
Temperatures running just slightly cooler than average. One more day, and then we start to warm back up. We have a slight chance of a thunderstorm today, 102 the high. Tomorrow, sunny and dry, 105 tomorrow. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
You run a business where you're the expert. When it comes to your website, it's okay to admit you're not the expert. You know you have no training, certainly don't have the time or money to work on it. You'd rather just use the free social sites and let it be. What if I told you there was a way to solve that problem? FreeWebGuys.com will build you a free website personalized for your business, and all you pay is hosting, marketing on Google, and you get guaranteed leads every month. Go to FreeWebGuys.com and get your free website for your business right now.
And we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I'm Kimberly Kale, the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, and this morning we are in here with Yuma County Administrator Susan Thorpe. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Yuma County Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs Director, I didn't even look at my notes that time, Alejandro Figueroa.
Good morning.
Good morning. And so, switching gears a little bit, with the moratorium recently being lifted for evictions, I do know that the county we talked about a little bit is offering assistance, rental assistance. Are you seeing an uptick in that? Do you expect to see any issues, people being evicted in Yuma County?
Well, we certainly hope not. We are seeing an increase in the number of people who are applying and getting approved for the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. That's a federal program that's being operated by the county, and we have to have a contract with WACOG because they are very familiar with eligibility mm-hmm. programs with federal dollars. So if anybody is interested in learning more about the eviction assistance, because we can pay up to 15 months of rent and 15 months of utilities, gas, electric, water, sewer. So if you're eligible, please call 217-7144, and that's WACOG's dedicated line for the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. We are seeing an uptick, and we really don't want to see people have to be evicted if this money is sitting here available for us. We've got more than $11 million that's available to assist people. We've spent about $1 million, but we've got plenty of money left through next year to help people. So I would encourage you, if you know someone you think could use this assistance, please call. There's no downside to calling. It's just find out if you're eligible and get your application in, and they can help you walk through the whole process.
Do you know, I mean, I know that WACOG's handling it, but do you know what some of the eligibility requirements are?
I mean, if you have any kind of like SNAP or other assistance that you're getting through the state, then you're pretty much likely going to be eligible, but there's more eligibility criteria than that. So I would just say,
somebody that unemployment benefits, does that count as a assistant unemployment benefit?
Yes, they would be able to tap into this money too, because we're trying to help people who have temporarily been impacted by COVID, mm-hmm. whether they can't work because their job was eliminated or their business was closed, or they've fallen behind because of impacts of COVID. So we want them to be able to get back on their feet. Mm-hmm. And the ERAP, we call it, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, is the way to do that. So I would encourage people to please call. Do not hesitate. And they'll find out very quickly whether you're eligible or not and let you know.
Are you finding that people are still unemployed? Or are you finding,
I think a lot of them are working, but it's from prior unemployment, where mm-hmm. they're back on their feet physically now doing their job, but they've got these arrears mm-hmm. where they haven't been able to pay in the past, and we want to make sure that landlords get the funding that they need. The money goes straight to the landlord, so it's not something that we give to the renter and then they use it on something else.
Right.
It's paid directly to the landlord or the electric company, gas company, etc. So we want to make sure that everybody's getting what they are owed.
And because what I'm finding is not necessarily unemployed, but underemployed still.
Mm, right. So they can take advantage of that. You don't have to be unemployed to take advantage of this opportunity.
And can a landlord look into it?
They can, but the applicant is the renter. So
right.
We would love to have landlords and rental management companies. Please contact those tenants who mm-hmm. are behind and encourage them to take advantage of this program, because they have to be the applicant, but then we pay directly to the landlord.
Perfect. And so speaking of unemployed or underemployed, do you picture, so the new infrastructure bill, of course the Senate passed it, and we know, how do you think that's going to impact Yuma County? Have you looked at it at all yet?
Well, we all know that HERF funds, which are the highway user revenue funds, have not been increased in years,
mm-hmm.
and we've fallen farther and farther behind across the state, including all of Yuma County and all of its cities, in keeping up with our road system. So any kind of road and bridge funding that's available, we're going to take full advantage of, because we need it. We're underfunded, and we need to take advantage of any opportunities to make our roads and bridges right.
Mm-hmm. Alejandro, are you finding that's impacting us as far as encouraging new business in Yuma?
Absolutely. Well, we're working with the Forefront ED, which is mm-hmm. a platform of economic development across the border, and we're going to set up some webinars next month that are focused on infrastructure. So we're going to have somebody from Mexicali, the San Luis, mm-hmm. Sonora, our side, and Imperial County talk about infrastructure. But that's, I think that's going to be huge, especially for our port of entry, which is getting, fully fund the expansion of San Luis 1 port of entry, which is huge for us.
That is huge for us. I'm hearing rumors that we are starting to see an uptick in traffic at San Luis, because they're, instead of crossing from California, they're coming into places like Ensenada, driving still in Mexico, and then coming up through San Luis. Are you hearing the same?
Yes, ma'am. I just met with ADOT, the International Affairs Director, and they have a group of people at the San Luis, too, who are specifically dedicated to talking to trucking companies in Mexico and just saying, hey, we're open for business. You don't have to idle 4 hours in Mexicali or Tijuana. You can come over and use our port of entry.
And the new port of entry seems to be faster, the new commercial one.
Oh, our commercial port of entry is state-of-the-art. It's got lots of lanes, and so we need to fill those up. There's plenty of room for trucking to come through and be dealt with very quickly and very efficiently. So we are trying to encourage the Mexico traffic to come through the commercial port of entry.
Alejandra, I know you know. What are the advantages of coming through here instead of like Mexicali or?
Well, first of all, it's the fact that you have to wait 4 hours in line. Mm-hmm. And if you have a perishable good behind you, you
mm-hmm.
know, time is money, especially for those products. So I think that's one of the biggest benefits. And we have California next to us, so we're becoming that center for companies to come in and sell to California,
mm-hmm.
Take advantage of our better tax rates and our business-friendly environment. So that's, I think, one of the biggest advantages of coming through San Luis, too.
Because I'm seeing Arizona, historically at least, has been less expensive than California. Are we still seeing that?
For the most part, yes.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and especially with this latest tax cut. I know that was the governor's big impetus, was to increase competition with other states like Texas and California to bring more businesses in and keep our businesses here that are already here.
Alejandro, what... I mean, you've been doing a lot of work on this. We sat at lunch, a week ago, mm-hmm. I think, and talked about attracting more businesses. Can you go into that a little bit more about what we have been doing to attract these businesses to come through Arizona, perhaps either instead of California or instead of other locations?
Right. Well, the county's taking a leadership role right now, and we're trying to get everybody, all the stakeholders, to talk and coordinate efforts in a single voice. I mean, we have Santa Cruz County who do a great job at the state level,
because
they fight it out, but at the end of the day, they agree and work together as a team. So as a region, we have to be doing the same thing, you know, get together, talk about it, discuss issues, and talk to the legislator in a unified voice, so we can get things done and get more attention to our region. To improve not only the quality of life, but improve our small businesses, as well the assistance and the attention that they get.
The webinars that are coming up, what are they going to be about?
Well, we're still working on the panelists. Mm-hmm. We're talking about water infrastructure. We're actually obviously talking about ports. We have potentially renewable energy or solar companies also talking about the infrastructure needed in the region and what we have to offer right now. So we're still working on the details on the webinars right now.
But the region, we are talking not just Yuma County.
No, not just Yuma County. We have Baja.
Mm-hmm.
We're working closely with Mexicali, which is 1 million-plus people down there, mm-hmm. growing middle class. And we have, obviously, our neighbors to the south, San Luis.
Mm-hmm.
We're working also with Imperial County and trying to get them on board to work with us as well.
Because it's really a great region. I mean, it's really a great place for businesses to relocate. What advantages do you tell them? I mean, what advantages do you tell businesses? Well, why move to Yuma County?
Geographically, there's no better place in Arizona than Yuma. And we have the best of both worlds. We're close to California, which is the 6th or 7th largest economy in the world. We're right next to Mexico, which is mm-hmm. the 10th or 11th economy in the world. So, and with a growing middle class. So I don't think there's a better place in the United States, actually, to establish your business and have potentially a huge millions of people as potential customers for your company.
And Susan, I know that the Board of Supervisors is also relatively business friendly. I know that from experience, just from when I've needed something and I call you, they act very quickly to remedy whatever situation is happening. Is there anything in the pipeline, I mean, to keep us business friendly or maybe improve business in Yuma County?
Well, we do have an economic development incentive policy. And Alejandra's become very familiar with that. We have some companies that are coming forward asking for economic incentives. So that is something that's relatively new. Yuma County has just become a player probably 4 years ago in the economic development field. When we created the position that Alejandra has now, that was the first ever economic development presence that Yuma County had. So we're really making strides, and Alejandra's going to take it to the next level with his relationships and his partnerships with people across the state and into Mexico. So we want to take advantage of this bi-national, four-region effort that we've begun with Forefront ED and with our economic development at Yuma County in cooperation with GYEDC and the economic development entities at the cities as well. So I think we're working well together. It gets better all the time, and our Board of Supervisors is very focused on working together to the benefit of the entire community.
What incentives can I get?
Well, not me personally. One of the things that businesses always ask for is a skilled workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And AWC has been so responsive to that. And Yuma County helps as well because one of our biggest incentive programs is to reimburse $1,000 of train per employee for training purposes. So we want you to skill up your workers, and we'll help pay to do that. So that's one of the things that Yuma County offers to businesses for an incentive.
You know, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so now I'm even more curious. How do I go about that? What kind of training does it have to be? Does it have to be through AWC? What are the requirements for the training?
No, it also relates to the wage of the worker. We want to have high-wage workers mm-hmm. coming in. So if a new business comes in and says, I'm going to have a capital expenditure of X amount of dollars, millions of dollars, and I'm going to bring in 300 workers, and here are the levels at which they're being paid,
mm-hmm.
then the higher the wage, the more incentives we'll be able to provide up to the $1,000 for the training mm-hmm. reimbursement. So, and they have to show staying power too. So it has to be sustained over several years for us to pay for that. So we don't just want someone coming in and then leaving the next year and taking our funds with them.
Right.
We want them to be committed to Yuma County and to staying here and growing their business and employing high-wage workers.
But it sounds like something like an apprenticeship would be perfect for that program.
Oh, you know what? Apprenticeships are something that our partner, Arizona at Work, takes care of, along mm-hmm. with AWC. So I'd be happy to connect anybody with Arizona at Work because they offer free internships, free apprenticeships, free work experiences to people who need to skill up.
And with that, we have to take another break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. If you ever get annoyed,
presents Terrifying Jobs.
Bull Rider, take two.
Today we're talking with Clifford Maxwell, a rodeo bullfighter. His job? Distract raging bulls from going after thrown riders.
Cliff, this seems like a really terrifying job. Why do you do it?
I love protecting the bull riders when they get bucked up.
How big are these bulls?
12 to 2,200 pounds of pure muscle.
You're not cowed by any of this, obviously. Is there anything that scares you?
Yeah. Distracted drivers terrify me.
This message is brought to you by ADOT, the ABA, and this station.
Hi, I'm Dr. Anita Chandra with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Helmets are important for every bike ride, no matter how short. Did you know helmets are also important to wear when skateboarding, inline skating, or riding a scooter? A helmet can protect against a skull fracture or other facial injuries. Look for a helmet that fits correctly and that's certified for safety. Make sure you and your child wear a helmet every time. For more, visit healthychildren.org or talk with your pediatrician.
We're at our best when we stand together.
That's when we make the impossible
possible. That's what Stand Up To Cancer has done, because you stood up.
Because of you, we're making the impossible
possible.
We're committed to making every cancer patient a long-term survivor.
Together, we stand up to cancer.
Join Stand Up To Cancer for one night as we stand together. Tune in Saturday, August 21st at 8, 7 Central on ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
At H&R Block, tax time means max refund time. And with virtual tax prep, our experts can help you get your refund from home, staying in your sweatpants. Just snap some pics of your docs and a tax pro does the work. Your maximum refund is guaranteed, or your money back. Virtual tax prep, one of the many ways Block has your back.
All tax situations are different. Not everyone gets a refund.
So when you need a hand with your taxes, H&R Block is here for you. Drop off your taxes today at their offices in Yuma, the Foothills, or San Luis.
If you ever get annoyed,
and we are back with Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. And before we get back to talking with to Yuma County, I do have a couple of announcements. First of all, we are bringing back our Community Expo, Mega Mixer, and Taste of Yuma. They are going to be, the Mega Mixer is going to be on Friday, September 10th, with the Community Expo and Taste of Yuma on Saturday, September 11th. We do know that that is Patriot Day, Day of Remembrance. We will be having a special ceremony that morning as well. But the Community Expo is going to be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Yuma Civic Center. We expect to have over 100 booths there with a lot of giveaways, raffle prizes throughout the day. And it is completely free to attend. The booth space is not, of course. But for the public, we would love to have you there. Come check out everything. Come win the prizes. And then go to Taste of Yuma. That is not free, but you can kind of control it. We're just going to charge a few dollars for tastings from different local restaurants. Come try out what they have going on. Check out what kind of food they have. Give yourself some ideas as far as where you can go out to dinner later in the week. But it should be a great day with lots of giveaways, lots of fun, lots of new ideas. And check out all the amazing businesses that we have here in Yuma County. It is at the Yuma Civic Center. We also, I am so excited, after some kind of going back and forth, we are going to do our first ever Glow Golf Tournament. It is going to be at the Cocopa Rio Colorado Golf Course in Somerton, which is a fun nine-hole course. That's actually where I probably play the most because I know that if during at least the winter season, they have a couples league on Friday afternoons. And so don't tell my board that I sneak out sometimes on Friday afternoons to golfing down at Rio, Colorado. anyway, I know they're listening, and they know I do it. So, but it's a fun course, and I did the City of Somerton's Glow Golf Tournament there this past spring and had so much fun with it. I said, hey, I want to do that with the chamber too. So basically what they do is they set up tee boxes in the fairways so that all of the holes are super short. I think the longest one was 150 yards and the shortest one was like 65 yards. So seriously, you don't need to know how to golf to do this. Making it even better, we're doing this right before they overseed. So if we end up taking a divot when we're teeing off in the fairway, yeah, I mean, still be you know, do the right thing and repair your divot. But fortunately, they're overseeding right after this, so which is a good thing. It is Friday, September 24th. We are going to do dinner in the clubhouse first, starting at 6 p.m., and that's when we'll be selling raffle tickets. We'll have raffle prizes, you know, typical golf tournament. And then once it gets dark, probably around 7, 7:30, we will all head out, do the nine holes of Glow Golf. The golf balls that we have are lots of fun. Instead of, they used to be the ones with the little glow sticks, and they didn't fly very well. We instead have are getting golf balls. They actually use a flashlight, and it'll turn on the golf ball, and it'll stay on for you, which is the other nice thing, because sometimes you hit the golf ball and it takes you too long to get to it. It's dark and you can't find it. But these actually stay on, or at least they're supposed to. It's what the City of Somerton used, and I loved them so much. I went, where'd you get those? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm just going to steal all their ideas. Don't tell them that either. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It is, like I said, it's Friday evening, September 24th. And then, brand new, we haven't really completely announced it yet, but on October 5th, we have been working with Retail Works Arizona and the Center for the Future of Arizona on bringing courses to the retail, hospitality, and restaurant sector here in Yuma County. And we've done two free webinars so far with them, but they are headed out here on Tuesday, October 5th. And that morning, they are going to be doing a session on how to recruit and retain employees for the retail, hospitality, and restaurant sector. It's been so difficult for them to get employees at this time. And then to help them even further, we have partnered with Arizona at Work, and we are doing a job fair that day. It is going to be, again, Tuesday, October 5th, and it is going to be at the Four Points by Sheraton, and there is no cost for anything for this, not for the employers to be there, certainly not for prospective employees to be there. So we hope that anybody that is unemployed looking for a job, or any employers in the retail, hospitality, and restaurant sectors, please reach out to our office, info@yumachamber.org. Again, info@yumachamber.org. We don't have all the details yet, but we can get you on a list to make sure that you have all of the information you need so that you can come participate in our informational session on the best practices for recruiting and retaining employees, and then, of course, the job fair. So September and October, very busy months for us at the Chamber, but trying to make sure that all of our members have everything that they need, just like Yuma County tries to do for all of us residents here in Yuma County. So let's get back to that. So introducing again, we have Susan Thorpe, Yuma County Administrator. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Alejandro Figueroa. I'm not going to go through that whole title again, but Economic Development Director, essentially. But Intergovernmental Affairs is important too, clearly.
Sure is.
So good morning, Alejandro.
Good morning, Kim.
And so I gave them a little heads up on the during the break. I said I want to talk about water, but not probably the water. I mean, we'll talk about the water you're thinking of, but I happened to read an interview with Senator Kelly, you know, recently, and they were talking about the different infrastructure bill and the different money that is coming here, and he was talking about repairing water pipes, especially around Tacna. Is that an issue around Yuma County that we have an old pipes, water pipe system?
Well, yes. Tacna is an unincorporated community,
mm-hmm.
and they have had a really difficult time with their water system for many years. It's basically failing, and so they've formed an improvement district. So in Yuma County doesn't provide water and sewer directly to any customers.
Okay.
So if a neighborhood or a subdivision or an unincorporated community like Tacna wants to create a system that's going to serve them, they create an improvement district. So that means they petition themselves and agree that they're going to come together to fund an improvement, like water, like sewer, like street lighting. There are a number of improvement district purposes that that a community can come together to form. So Tacna has formed an improvement district for their water system. And our Nancy Nye, our community planning supervisor, who is our grants guru, has worked very closely with the Water Infrastructure Financing Agency, as well as USDA, Rural Development, and it's going to be over $5 million project, but mostly grants. So that community, even though they formed an improvement district and can tax themselves to do these improvements, we've fought to get them grant money so that they don't have to fund the huge amount of money that it's going to take to serve that water. So we'll be replacing their old system with an entirely new plant and series of piping to get to all the neighbors in Tacna. So Nancy and I did a great job with that. We've dedicated some American Rescue Plan Act funds that also are eligible for water infrastructure to be a backstop in case all the grant funding doesn't cover the cost, so that we can make sure that Tacna gets the service that they need and at the least cost possible to the residents.
Is this a common problem around Yuma County, or is Tacna kind of like just an unusual case?
It is. It is a problem. We have a lot of arsenic in the water in various parts of the county, and so it has to be done very carefully to make sure that the systems are treated and it's drinkable water. So that's one of the things that we're working on with the Tacna system.
Is there any reason to be afraid of it? I mean, you hear arsenic and you're like,
no, actually all water has a little bit, a level of arsenic in it. But only when it gets to certain high levels does it become dangerous for you. But at this point, it's not dangerous for them. It's just not the highest quality, and the taste of the water is not what it should be. So we're working to fix that.
So no issues with like little old ladies and arsenic and old lace. We're good with our water,
no,
right?
We're okay.
Sorry, it's one of my favorite plays. It's so cute. And so, of course, the big water question then. So hearing all this stuff about going into phase one for the drought mitigation, how does that affect us? What do you see our future for that?
We are fortunate in Yuma County that we have some of the oldest and highest priority water rights on the Colorado River, and so the impact will be less than other parts of the state. The biggest threat we have, let me go ahead and finish on the contingency or the drought contingency plan. So everybody takes a hit when the drought contingency plan goes into effect. So there will be some impact, but I do not know how much of an impact. And it hasn't hit yet. So there hasn't been an articulated plan of exactly how we're going to be impacted on a local level. Like for the municipal water supplies, they should be fine. The agricultural water, they're so efficient with their water anyway. And then we also have our irrigation districts that are through the Bureau of Reclamation, which have, their water rights are secure. So we'll see what happens next. But there hasn't been a detailed plan of how each neighbor or each region of our state and each state on the system is going to be impacted.
Do you have any quick recommendations as to, like, as a resident, anything I can do now? I mean, I'm already responsible for my water, shutting off my tap when I'm brushing my teeth, that kind of thing. Any recommendations going to be coming out from the county?
Absolutely. Well, since we don't operate a water system, we probably would just ask that the city, who do operate water systems, to provide advice to their customers, and we'll support that in whatever way we can.
Right, of course. And with that, we have to take another break.
Okay.
You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KVLU.
If you ever get annoyed,
labor is a two-way street. First, it's earned. Second, it's paid. In the air conditioning business, it just went up 10% again. I tell my techs, let homeowners know about the York factory parts and labor warranties. An out-of-warranty AC part costs many times more than yesterday's AC parts did. Ask your AC tech about our York extended factory labor warranties.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
Hi, my name is Mark Hansberger with Hansberger Refrigeration, and we've teamed up with Lennox for the Feel of Love campaign. Simply go to feeloflove.com where you can nominate a neighbor or a friend who is in need of new HVAC equipment. Go to feeloflove.com now for all the info.
Listen right here on 560 AM KBOU from 8 to 9 AM every Monday morning to Life, Death, and the Law, where Sean Garner and Adam Hansen discuss estate planning options. Spend Monday mornings 8 to 9 a.m. with Sean and Adam from Deason Garner and Hanson and learn how you can plan your estate using a will or a trust to protect your family and secure your legacy. That's Life, Death, and the Law every Monday morning from 8 to 9 right here on 560 a.m. KBOU.
With Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU, brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I am Kimberly Kale, the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Executive Director, and we are here talking about all things going on with our Yuma County government. We have Susan Thorpe, the Yuma County Administrator. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Alejandro Figueroa, the Economic Development and Intergovernmental Affairs Director. It only took me 45 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning.
And so, you know, I will admit, I didn't really always know what, I mean, when I thought county tax assessor, which, okay, of course, was negative. but I never really thought about where those funds go afterwards. And, of course, moving here and getting a lot more involved with the county and seeing everything that's going on, there are actually a lot of programs. And so we kind of talked about some of the positive things as far as, like, the new water pipes and everything. But I was reading in the newsletter that you guys have, and so all the school help also, like, in your newsletter as far as, like, the tutor.com that you mentioned, are any of those funded through?
Oh, absolutely. So the county actually has a number of countywide districts. The library district is actually a county district. The health district is a county district. The jail district is a county district.
I try to avoid the jail one.
Yes. The flood control district is a countywide district. So those are all under the auspices of the county, as well as, you know, your roads, the sheriff's office, the treasurer, the recorder, the assessor. We have the county attorney. We have a number of elected officials. Our school superintendent actually works with all the school, all the district superintendents to develop their budgets, to provide assistance, to seek out grant funds to help all the school districts across the county be successful. So we have a lot of things that are really under the radar for most individuals, but are really funded at the county level and we hope benefit everybody across the county. So it's pretty amazing. I came from city government, so learning county government was it's much more complicated. We have the entire criminal justice system. We have the justice courts, you know, the JP, the Justice of the Peace. We have three of those across the county. We have the entire superior court system that is actually run by the state, but the county has to fund it. So it's just a very complicated system.
Well, and which, if you have the unfortunate circumstances where you have to deal with the court system, there's a lawyer in the library, is that what it's called?
Yeah, the court justice center has a lawyer in the library, which is, and we also have a really great resource. The law library, or the legal library at the justice center in the basement is such a great resource, and we have people there all the time to help citizens get the advice they need, get the resources they need to file their own cases, to make sure that they understand the law and how it affects them. And then the lawyer in the library is where we actually have someone in the an attorney who's volunteered to help people navigate the system so that they can defend themselves or represent themselves in a case of some kind. So it's a great resource that we have. It's really not well known.
And speaking of resources, the libraries in and of themselves are a fabulous resource. You know, one of my staff used to work for the library, so I'm learning a lot more about all the different things that our libraries have to offer besides borrowing books.
Oh, yes. Well, you mentioned tutor.com. That is a free resource through the library, and it's a live tutor that you access for your children to help them with any subject under the sun. So I would encourage you to go online at yumalibrary.org and access all the resources there. You can actually sign up for an e-library card. You don't have to go to a library directly to do that. I mean, we'd love for you to go into the library because they have so many services. They have all the computer systems. We have tablets that they check out. We have Wi-Fi hotspots. We have movies, audio books, anything that you can get. And there's a huge e-library to download things directly from the internet through your, with your library card.
And one of the things I noticed is that there's also on tutor.com SAT and ACT prep, which if you have a senior in high school like I do, I mean, those classes are hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, this is just such an amazing resource at the library that people, unfortunately, not enough people know about. So I'm glad we have this opportunity to talk about it.
I know, because I was reading the newsletter, and I'm sure most residents of Yuma County, I will admit, don't go to the county website unless there's a problem. You know, unfortunately, that's just the nature of people. But I started reading everything, and I just went, oh, my goodness, because then the other thing is there's the universal class. So, okay, you're giving me a look. So,
I don't know everything about the library, but I know.
Okay, that's okay, but it doesn't look like it's part of tutor.com. They offer 500-plus lifelong learning classes in 30 subject areas, including CEU courses. Hmm. And there's 300 courses available. I mean, I'm like, come on, you're the administrator. You don't know everything.
Yeah, this is a great resource. So, yeah, again, go to yumalibrary.org and find out more. They also offer, for small businesses, there's a lot of, like, OSHA classes and other required classes that you can take for small business. And you can have your entire team go through those courses together. So,
I needed my OSHA 10 so I can go work, you know, in construction, I'm going to get a construction job.
I'm not sure about that, but there are a lot of ongoing trainings that they provide. So I know the OSHA 10, I think, is offered through AWC.
Yeah.
So that's another resource that's got a lot more resources than we even realize at Arizona Western College.
It's like peeling back layers every time I look at the different resources. So we don't have a lot of time left, but I know that that people have been starting to ask me all the questions about COVID again, as we are seeing numbers increasing. And, of course, the County Health Department are some of those resources.
Yes.
What are you seeing? What are you anticipating? Do you have any insight as to what the Health Department is looking at right now?
Diana Gomez, our Director of the Health Services District, is fabulous. Yes, she is. And she does a great job, and her entire staff does a great job. So, but we can't tell everybody what to do. We can only encourage, and we have walk-in clinics for vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Please take advantage of that. But there's vaccines available in so many different sources across the county. We would encourage people to get the vaccine because the Delta variant is much more contagious, and it is having bigger impacts on people who do get infected with it as opposed to the original strain. So vaccines are the number one way, the best way to fight COVID. The second best way is to wear a mask when you're around other people and you're not just kind of out in the open air and away from others. So we would encourage you to do one or the other and just take care of yourselves, your family, and each other, because we're all in this together, and we can get through it together if we're all doing the right thing.
I hope so. I realize that the county can't put any restrictions countywide. Okay, I understand that's not allowed. But are you putting any restrictions in county buildings? Like if I want to come, you know, pay my tax bill or something, you know?
We had early on, and then we've undone that restriction, I guess, a few months ago. There's been recent talk because of the uptick with the Delta variant of coronavirus but there hasn't been any action yet. We are, the chairman is allowed by emergency proclamation to require masks in all county buildings, mm-hmm. and that would cover visitors and employees alike. So there's been a discussion at the last board meeting, and I think there'll be another discussion next week, next Monday at the board meeting to see where we are with the virus and if it's becoming much more serious and spiking, and we have a lot more hospitalizations, which I know the YRMC is worried about, because those numbers are going up too. So that's a key number. If people are so sick that they have to get hospitalized and go into the ICU, it's a serious sign, and we want to make sure that our hospital doesn't get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So again, I would encourage people to take the vaccine or wear a mask whenever they're around other people.
Exactly. And so, Alejandro, I'm going to put you on the spot. So I was asking questions as we started because Alejandro said whether a mask was required or not, you're going to wear yours, which is totally good. But why are you wearing your mask?
Well, I have a newborn at home.
Yes.
1 month old. So I'm trying to figure, look out for her as much as I can, and my wife, obviously. So although we're both vaccinated, me and my wife, we don't know, how this might impact our baby. So that's part of the reason. The main reason I'm using the mask.
So what can you share, little girl? I'm just excited. Congratulations. Newborns are great
thank
for everybody. I'm like that's stop talking about COVID. I want to talk about something happy, okay? So 1 month old. How's it been?
Long nights.
Yeah.
We're in love.
Yeah.
It's been.
That's good.
Long nights for sure, and it's better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, is she your first?
It's my first baby.
And so I'm just trying to figure out, now that numbers are going up, it's got to be worrying as a new parent.
It sure is. It sure is. I mean, we're taking all the precautions. We're, fortunately enough, my wife can stay at home right now and we want her. So that helps a lot. And when I'm out and, meeting people, I'm definitely trying to wear my mask most of the time, for sure.
And have you taken her out at all?
See the doctor, that's it.
Of course, yeah. Has she been into the office? Have you guys gotten to meet her yet?
Just pictures so far.
We're keeping her safe.
Speaking of being in a border town, today I'm going to take her to the CBP office in San Luis, too, to get her Sentry card. So she can be a trusted traveler.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just listening to that, and I'm just like, I don't even have my Sentry card yet. Your daughter's going to beat me to it. She's going to need to be signed up for, frequent flyer miles soon.
What the birth certificate?
Russ just asked, you don't need a passport. So a birth certificate will do?
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of background check do they do on a one-month-old?
No.
How about her fingerprints? Do they need fingerprints?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, this is the first time, obviously, we're going to do this. When I did it, yes.
Right.
Everything.
Footprints, yeah. I'm just going back and thinking about, all the different things, and I'm just trying to think how that would work for a one-month-old. You're going to have to come back just so that we can find out how that works for you. I just wanted to talk about something happy for a little bit. I mean, water problems and all these things. But we talked about the library, which is great. Any other services that you can think of that we really should be letting people know about in the couple seconds we have left?
Well, let me just say the Emergency Rental Assistance Program number again, it's 217-7144. So please take advantage of getting more information about that program.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Susan and Alejandro, for coming in. Congratulations again. I can't wait to get to meet her once things have quieted down a little bit illness-wise. But thank you so much for coming in this morning. You've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them.
The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU Eldorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.